Okay, awesome. We're recording. Hello and welcome to episode 123 of the Jake Woodhouse podcast. Today, an awesome example of where AI is having a real impact on how business is actually conducted. And it's happening so fast and in such innovative ways that even just this small story says so much. What I'm going to run through today, I hope, is very inspiring, actually, because for small business owners out there, it's a grind, right? You're out there every day hustling, doing what you're doing, thinking, how do I improve my business? How do I become more efficient? How do I leverage my skills as well as possible? And here I'm going to show you a way that, it popped up last week. I thought it was too good an example not to use. So it's, let's get into it. So I was on a call last week with my friend and technical guy. We hadn't spoken for a few years, actually. We met in a startup accelerator, but just the kind of person that they have such a strong skill set in a domain where I don't, that I really take notice of what they say. And they said, "Oh, Jake, did you hear about the AI and pool story?" I was like, "No, what's that?" And that's what I'm going to go on to explain here. But the point being is where this came from sparked a deep dive, and I'm suddenly looking at Reddit threads, and I'm looking at LinkedIn posts, and I'm on YouTube, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. How have I not thought about this before? And so basically a bunch of things happened to bring me to today to explain what I'm going to run through. And it's fascinating. So somewhere in the States, there's a guy that has been using AI to generate leads for his pool installation business. And he's running it completely autonomously and at scale, and has apparently made a bunch of money. Now, I'll go on to explain in more detail about that specifically, but essentially, he's using OpenClaw, which is a piece of AI software, and he's able to use Google Satellite and scan for addresses in the US in affluent areas, and specifically looking for homes in a price range, which I believe was $500,000 to about $1.2 million with this specific example, and identify places that didn't have a swimming pool. Next, he takes that very specific property and generates a render. So the actual backyard, and out of it comes a graphic for a luxury pool, literally in your backyard. And he then runs an automated calc on roughly what they would expect the installation cost to be, and then mails a physical postcard with a QR code to that exact address, saying, "This is what your house will look like with a pool in the backyard that we can build for you. It will cost this, it will take this long, it'll look roughly like the picture on this postcard. Scan this QR code and get in touch." And boom, that can go to thousands of homeowners that meet the predefined metrics that they're looking for. And it's like, oh my God, like as if I've never thought of that before. And one of the reasons I hadn't is because of the cost that would normally be involved pre-AI in actually doing that. And so let's think about that in some more detail. So it's like, okay, we can now go and use a Google Maps or something similar, and it's publicly accessible information. And with that, you can zoom right in, high resolution, and almost every address that you can think of is there. You can literally see it. Like, it depends, of course, how old some of the photography is. Like, maybe they've added to the property or it's changed slightly. But you can get very good granular view of like what's actually on that specific postcode, and the postcode databases themselves, like they're public. Estimated property values, every time I log into realestate.com.au, it'll give you a rough valuation. Is it correct? Who knows? But if you can send hundreds and hundreds of the same postcard, then it doesn't matter if you're off by 10, 20%, because the cost of outreach is just compacted so much. And you're obviously able to filter through all the thousands of different addresses. And the type of like ability, for example, like the image segmentation is a phrase I came across. It's like, okay, so you can create the model and it can isolate backyards specifically, like from the fence line, what type of grass it is, what other structures are already there. And use then, like this is where the AI stack comes in, of course. It's like, okay, Midjourney, GPT image generation. Like this stuff was literally science fiction only a few months ago. And you could type into the prompt like, okay, we have a property, it's this size, in this location, north-facing or south-facing or east-facing, sunlight, with this much space, generate a pool that looks similar to X, or whatever the prompt might be. And it's like, oh my gosh, okay. And now you have, obviously, you're able to then plug into these direct mail APIs, something like a PostGrid that has a USPS integration, which means it's an automated print and post. So you're not like at home getting your render, tapping out the address, getting a physical card, popping it in a printer, and then like, you know, taking it to the post office, putting a stamp on it. Like, no, no, no. You literally don't physically touch it. A human is not involved in the entire lead generation process. Like, it's honestly, it's unthinkable from previous times. You go, okay, well, what else does this mean? Now, excuse me a second as I just read through my notes. So I have to be blunt, right? I don't have or couldn't find the specific company and the original operator doing this. So I haven't audited specifically the ROI numbers and all the rest of it, but there was one really good article I found around the shifts in customer acquisition cost. So I'm just going to pull that up because it's cool to talk through. And I'll reference this myself, but it'll be in the show notes for down below. So go and have a look there. Give me one second. No, I've clicked on the same one twice. Hang on. Yeah, cool. Okay. So just the unit or economics of this, like how does it actually work? And I found this post and it's talking about, okay, well, if the home is worth 1.2 million bucks, like the traditional customer acquisition cost for a pool installer could be $2,000 per job. And the close rate on a cold lead, 5-8%. So if you close one deal from 500 postcards that you create, the marketing campaign is more profitable by 10x. It's like, oh my gosh, like how many pool installers are currently in Australia doing cold outreach of some form to try and find new business and haven't even thought about how they can use AI in their business? Or if they have thought about it, they're like, where do I even start? It's like, this example is even more sophisticated than that. It's like, this is a customer lead generation tool that wasn't previously possible for small business because it has compressed the input costs by such a massive factor. And that's wild, right? Like, think about how many other small businesses that are out there that could use AI in an innovative way like this to access customers at a scale that wasn't physically possible before because of when it was done more manually. Now, critically, like, I do really trust my friend that brought this up as a story. And so I'm not someone that wants to like overly hype things, but I think it's a fascinating example. And it's one of those things where it's almost like it doesn't really matter if the story underneath is totally true, because it opens up a whole new world of like, ah, how could I implement that? Or how could I take that as inspiration and rejig it for my specific scenario? And like what I spoke about in the previous podcast episode, AI spins on its head entirely the actual process of accumulation of knowledge. Like, why would you bother to go to university and do a business management degree or an MBA when right now I have a business problem I need to solve and I can literally go to a $20 a month AI and be like, I am a business owner with this specific problem and I need to solve it this fast and this is my revenue and this is my target customer and this is my current pain point. And boom, the bespoke advice arrives in the click of a button at any time of day. And it's so cool for all of us that have, you know, been passionate about building businesses over the years. It's a very interesting time to be doing this stuff. So could this be exaggerated in terms of the ROI? Yes, it could be. And does it need testing more? Yes, it could be. But does it spark a piece of, like, well, it's inspiring, right? You're like, oh my God, imagine if I could do X. And if anyone has a concept that's similar to this, that uses this as leverage to think about, then please do reach out and let me know. Now, to really dig into these numbers a bit more as I think it through, it's like, okay, so the unlock here, it's a, yeah, I've got a statement here. This isn't really about pools, and I've kind of touched on this just now. It's the pricing wall coming down, and most business owners haven't even realized. And so this very specific example, it's like one custom render of one house, pre-AI, you've got a graphic designer, $80 an hour. You've got a sales team doing cold outreach with a bunch of costs. You multiply that across 50,000 properties and you've got millions of dollars of cost just to try and land a customer. Economically unfeasible for a local operator. Post AI, seconds to generate a render, cents in terms of cost per render, the same job with the same output quality that you can now send to 50,000 people, and the cost per delivery is not even a dollar. It's wild, okay? And you think, oh my gosh, where else could this be applied? And you know, I have a friend who has a pool and landscape business. I'm definitely going to send him this podcast episode once I finished it to be like, how does this land? Have you thought about doing something like this? And if anyone watching this has a friend who has a pool and landscape business, do share it with them. Reach out to me, ask any questions. But it's so cool to think through, isn't it? Because it's like, okay, you could be applying this to solar installers. You could be applying this to kitchen remodeling. You could be applying this to landscaping, right? Do you want to do up your garden? And that's just thinking about domestically focused service businesses. And so it's like, okay, so AI agents can now work alongside salespeople in a way that wasn't previously possible. And therefore, this is a huge threat in terms of disruption to industries which still run on gut instinct and cold leads. It's like, okay, for the business owners out there that are looking for a way to improve their business, these are the type of tools that some of your competition will be using. They'll already be adopting this stuff. They'll be building it in their own way. And that's not to say that it's all about beating the competition down the road. I very much believe in that process of, you know, focus on what you do really, really well and just get really good at that. And honestly, don't worry too much about what anyone else is up to. But for someone who's brilliant at building swimming pools, using this very specific example, why wouldn't you want an AI product like this tacked onto the side of your already existing business to help generate more deal flow? Like, to me, this is a no-brainer. And again, I'd love to hear of any real-world examples of people implementing this type of stuff. So, you know, where else could you apply this? Like, keeping with the real estate stuff, like granny flats, right? People do real estate deals all the time where they've got a piece of land, they've got a house in it. They might live in the house. They've got a big backyard. They don't use the whole thing. They could build something on the back, do an Airbnb. Perfect. This would work for that. You know, find a suburb of a city valued at a certain median amount. Look for properties with parcels of backyard that might not be unusable. Boom. Send them a postcard with like a render generated granny flat. How cool. I've said solar. I've said other landscaping, kitchens. I'm sure there are other examples that people can come up with. Someone is going to do this in your industry in 2026. The only question is it going to be you? Now, some pushback I saw that was quite interesting, and I want to flag this because I think there are some AI implementation vigilantes out there that are pushing results-driven stuff without enough backing and without enough thought, i.e. they're just hustling. And that's totally fair enough, but like, you know, beware the stories that you hear. And so a very legitimate pushback here is like, it's quite invasive, right? For a homeowner to receive a postcard and it's like, oh my God, someone's been spying on me in some way. Now, I think this is overblown, personally speaking. Like, if I got a postcard with a picture of my backyard with a nice pool in it, and I understand how it was built and why it was built, and it was built using publicly accessible information, and it was sent to me by a business owner who's just wanting to do some business with me, I'd be totally fine with it. But there are going to be people out there that are cagey, and they'll be like, this is a step too far. You should never have sent me this. And I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Get out of my backyard. In which case, apologize. And I think it's a case of ask for forgiveness rather than permission. But it's important to mention because it could be creepy, right? And people are like, oh, you know, this tech stuff, it's gone a bridge too far. I don't want a, you know, computer-generated image of my backyard through my postbox. It makes me feel like people are spying on me. So just to be totally transparent about this, this was the best piece of pushback that I saw. And as a podcast creator, I'm not someone who's in the business of of pumping my bags on the back end and not telling the whole story. So I think this was something that I thought was really interesting. And if you were to do something like this, I would definitely explain myself in the postcard. So to me, the selling would be the image. You'd be like, oh my God, that would be so cool. I'd love to have a pool in my backyard. Who the hell sent me that? Flip it over. And then there's a bit of a story, the business owner, how we created this, and then what's the ROI? If you built this, it would cost you X, it would take this long, and we believe your property would be valued at Y at the end of the whole process. You've suddenly got a very clean ROI, and you've done so much work as a business at that point to unlock capital that is going to be there. People just needing an excuse to spend it. And I think that's very cool. It's just, you're generating value up front that people are like, oh, that's really cool. I appreciate that. Now, you know, I can't not harp on about this given the AI assessment tool that I'm building and selling. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about that, and forgive me if this is too much for pump my own bags, but you can stop listening if you want. What does this mean for you? If you've got this far into this podcast, you are more than likely going to be someone who is a small business owner. You are interested in AI. You're wondering how it affects you. You're looking for innovative ways to deploy it. And the thing that I am very keen on at the moment is that so many people are looking at it and going, like, where do I even start? What tools work for me? What's actually going to be useful? Is there a risk? And that's why I built the AI assessment. It's like, okay, I'll spend 20 minutes with you. Maybe it'll run to 30 if we have a good chat. Through that time, I'm going to help pinpoint I'm going to ask a series of open-ended questions, essentially. It's like, okay, start Monday morning, 7 a.m. What are you doing? All right, take me all the way through to Friday, 5 p.m. And I'll try and figure out, okay, what are the biggest bottlenecks in your week? What are the things that you would really like to never have to do again? And I'll take that information and I generate a report that identifies 3 or 4 really low-hanging fruits that are easily implementable AI tools that you can take off the shelf and put into your business tomorrow. That if you're someone who's an accountant, for example, and you charge $450 an hour, if you get an hour back, well, suddenly you can charge someone for that hour. And the ROI on your own time is very, very high, which I think is a very cool thing to think through. But AI it's not just a writing assistant. Yes, you can draft emails with it. Yes, you can respond more quickly to inquiries. Yes, you can compress the back end of a content production process like I've been doing, but it's only a very small fraction of what you're doing. If you think about the tip of an iceberg, it's like, yeah, okay, rewriting an article with ChatGPT is the top of the iceberg. It's the very, very entry level, simple stuff, or installing Otter.ai on your work calls that automatically takes notes on all the conversations you have and sends you an email afterwards. Like, very, very easy to implement, but you're not getting the full big picture. And so what AI is actually doing is it's rewriting what's economically possible. And this example today is to do with customer acquisition specific to local service businesses. So how radically different is that, what I just walked you through? It's like, okay, you've actually taken an AI, you've given it a prompt, and it takes itself through a series of steps using satellite, and then a bunch of metrics it's required to hit to find a good target potential property, generates a specific bespoke design to that property, puts the unit economics with it, and then sends a goddamn postcard for you, epic, at like a very low cost. That is a whole new world of lead generation that just wasn't possible. And so that's when I talk about like AI compressing business functions. It's like that has just opened up a whole new world of lead generation that wasn't possible for a small business. And so it's a cost structure that makes hyper-personalized outbound viable for the first time. And so, and again, this is why I'm keen to hear examples or ideas of how this might affect you. It's like, what business do you run? And how do you currently do your marketing? And who are the customers you're trying to get after? And for me, it's clear, like if you make a decision to actively engage with this stuff, the business owners that figure out this year, you're going to take market share. Like it's an absolute no-brainer. And so my AI assessment, it's not just designed to surface the low-hanging fruit opportunities. It's then like, okay, well, what are longer-term projects that you could build towards? And this would be one. So, okay, we're actually going to be able to do more marketing with AI, and we're going to specifically build a lead generation tool like the one we have described today. And that's pretty cool, right? So the AI assessment, $999, one-time cost. I'm doing a fixed capacity per week. At the moment, it's a maximum of 3. And I have a guarantee with it, which is the report will pay for itself in month 1. If it doesn't, full refund. And the reason I did that was because the first few reports that I did, it was very obvious. Like, business owners, they're able to calculate the value of their time, and they're able to therefore calculate, when they save time, what that cost saving is, or what that potential additional revenue actually is. And you go, oh, do you know what? That's such a cool process. And so of all the reports I've done, every single one of them, if you implemented the suggestions I make, pay back the cost of the report. And that's why I've decided to give such a great refund. It's like, look, I'll give you money straight back if I can't show you how to save enough of your time using AI tools that pay for itself. Anyway, I hope that was valuable today as a podcast episode. I am going to spend a little time now just kind of really trying to riff on what this means. So forgive me if this turns into a bit of a rant, but that's kind of where we're going. So the ability for AI to improve your business processes is clear. The way that it is being implemented into businesses is not yet clear in terms of this example. It's like there is so much open space for you to take these tools and meld them together in a way that's unique to you. And the really cool piece about it is, like, the more that you can use the AI tools that exist today as strategic thinking partners, the better the bespoke advice you get for your scenario will be. And so sitting down and going, okay, I'm this person, I want to achieve this, the bottleneck's currently this, and therefore I need to build something to solve that. Help me do that. Boom, bunch of suggestions. Okay, this works, this doesn't work, this works, this doesn't work. All right, you curate it down to like another suggestion. And it's as simple as, like, okay, now you're suggesting I build this thing. Okay, you go to a new software product, you might sign up to start using it, don't know how to use it. Like recently, for example, I've been playing around on the back end of my website. I hired a branding and web building agency a year or so ago to build it for me when I launched my podcast. I don't have a clue how WordPress works. I never had an interest in it. I thought I would just get someone professional to help me build it, so I didn't waste time on it. Now, whenever I get stuck, I'm like, okay, do it yourself. So I take a screenshot of where I'm at, put it into Claude or whichever other tool I'm using, and I'm like, okay, I'm stuck. How do I do this? And it's crazy how quickly you can start learning. And this is where I think a general trend is going to be true, where we'll see more and more and more solo business owners, solo business operators, because you no longer need a marketing team. You no longer need an operations team. You no longer need a finance team. Of course, it depends on the scale that you're at. And of course, it depends on the skill gap that you have. And it might well be best still to hire those people. But there are so many things that you can now solve yourself at the end of a prompt and a click of button. It's like, well, you should just do that. And so the call to action here is, like, not just, of course, you know, get an AI assessment done. That's the main point for me even creating this podcast in the first place. But it's also like, take a risk, take a chance, do some research, and find, like, okay, what is the biggest thing that's pissing you off every single week? Okay, hey, Claude, this annoys me every single week. It costs me 6 hours of time, and send it off. Or equally, like, you might have a small team of 4 or 5 people. And the truth is, a lot of those people will be doing some form of administrative task every single week. So your business is currently, it's eating costs that it doesn't need to in labor for people that are already on the books. And so this is a really interesting point where it's like, okay, and especially when I look at stock listed businesses, like big companies, they are not incentivized to change. And this is always true of creative disruption. And because of that, the CEO is going to go to his board and say, all right, guys, we've got to do something about this AI stuff. Can you go to your management departments and find out? And so they'll go down and say, all right, guys, how do we use AI in the business? There might be regulatory issues, so they're not allowed to actually type into some of these things. Who knows? But they're more than likely to come back. And because people naturally self-select to save themselves, it's my strong thesis that a lot of the middle management are going to come back to the boards of directors and say, well, AI is helpful here, here, and here, but actually, like, it's probably not going to really change things much. And that is completely wrong, in my opinion. But also, it's a self-serving bias. They don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to see change. They like doing things how they currently do it. So they're going to sit in spreadsheets. They're going to go from PDF to PDF. They're going to have huge email inboxes. And they're going to be wasting time. Now, to take that analogy down to a small business owner, you might have a team of 4 or 5 people, and they are also incentivized to keep their job. So even if you say to them, guys, I want you using AI every single day, what is that actually going to translate like? I don't know. So a better way of doing this might be to say, okay, I'm actually going to do my own AI assessment of the business and sit down with each team member and be like, okay, I want you to map out your entire week and tell me where you waste time, what you wish you didn't do, what you'd like to do differently, and where can you input AI tools? Like, frankly, as I talk this through, I could do this for you as well. You could hire me to do an entire AI assessment for the business, and I'd speak to every single person in it and recommend AI tools for each of them. Now, what will happen, and I think this is kind of cool to think about, especially as small business owners, and unlike the slow-moving behemoths that stock-listed companies are, is your 4 or 5 people currently create a revenue statistic that you'll know well, and you'll have a net profit figure that you know well. So, okay, what if you could reduce the time that they waste every single week using AI tools and then retrain them on other areas of the business that can help you grow? And where are the revenue stats going to be in a year's time? Where's that net profit margin going to be in a year's time? Again, any examples of people doing this, please reach out, please let me know, because this is still so new. Like, it's really, we're talking like the very first wave of what's the right way of saying this? Like, it's commonly held truth that the price of technology comes down over time. And that's what we're seeing here. So the access to AI is now so cheap that it's affecting everyone everywhere. That wasn't previously true even 2 years ago. Like, I was in startup accelerators 10 years ago, and they were talking about AI. But the AI that we see today is very different to back then. And so how is a small business going to change? Well, you have to become more efficient. And if you're not, then your business is going to suffer. And you're going to be employing people that are doing stuff that can be done by a computer for a small setup cost and at a fraction of the amount of time. And that same person, either you have to obviously say goodbye and thanks very much for your help if you can't find other areas for them to retrain their attention, but they can become growth assets in your business. So anyway, I'm going to wrap it up there. Thank you so much for listening and tuning into the podcast. It's already been a fascinating few weeks. I think this is my third AI-related episode that I've done, because I'm starting to feel what happens when you put content out there. It's a slow burn, but I get a message a day or a couple of messages a day from people asking me about this, asking me about that. And that's only going to snowball. So I'm very excited about how the next couple of months are going to play out and to see what is the reverb? Where is this getting most traction? What defines helpful? What defines success? And the answer is it's going to be very different for everyone. Anyway, if you have any questions at all, please reach out. Thank you so much for your time.